Now I invite you to please pray with me. Lord God, this morning, take my words and speak through them. Take our hearts and speak to them. Bring conviction, Holy Spirit, to our hearts through the living word, and initiate healing and transformation in our lives, all for the glory of your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. This morning, we're going to be taking a look at our reading from Romans chapter 8, if you want to follow along. We're looking at page 944 in your pew Bibles, or Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 31 in your own Bibles. And the theme this morning, the question before us, is, are you separated? Are you separated from God's love? Last week, Craig preached on Jesus' 40 days of retreat and temptation in the wilderness. And he related Jesus' temptation in the wilderness to the dark night of the soul. Craig's sermon was very enlightening regarding the nature of suffering. And if you missed it, I hope you'll either grab a CD copy from our Welcome Center and take it with you, or listen from our website podcast page. It was really good and really worthwhile to reflect on. After hearing that sermon, Kim and I spent a little time together reflecting, and God reminded us of one of our seasons of the dark night of the soul. It was a season in our marriage where Kim and I felt isolated. We felt abandoned and separated from the community, and we felt separated from God's love. We didn't feel it. We felt like we were following God's path, obeying Him, but suddenly the road had become extremely rough and painful, and it stayed that way for a really long time. We couldn't feel or locate the Lord's presence or God's love during that season. It was lonely and it was dark. I know many of you have had seasons like that, or perhaps you're in the midst of one. Some months after that dark season ended, we were still wondering, what was God doing? We didn't get it. Why had we experienced what we had? And it was then that we had an unexpected conversation with a longtime friend. And our friend shared with us their perspective of that dark season in our lives. And as they shared, it was as if the curtains were opened and suddenly bright sunlight, warm sunlight, came streaming through the windows into that dark season. The insights that were shared to us opened our eyes to the fact that God had been with us all along, that we hadn't been separated from Him. He had been there protecting, challenging, nurturing, transforming us along the way. And that revelation of God's plan and presence in the midst of that hard season, when we realized it some months later, it led us to a time of celebration and awe at God's activity during what was really a hard season. He brought darkness to light through that revelation. And we were awestruck at God's love for us. He was true during that season. He never left us nor forsook us, as the scriptures say. He used our suffering to bring forth new life, new healing and transformation in our lives. And our passage from Romans captures that sense of celebration that Kim and I experienced. Celebration and worship in the midst or in light of God's salvation. Celebration in light of God's wondrous activity in the lives of His people. Paul's letter to the church in Rome, it's a theological marvel. It is deep. As Paul explains the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gift of salvation through faith in Christ alone. And Romans chapter 8, it represents what many scholars view as a crescendo, as Paul declares the wonder of God's provision for and His presence with His people. So looking at chapter 8, Paul declares through the first part of chapter 8 that there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. there's no condemnation. He declares that in Christ Jesus alone, one is set free. There's freedom in Jesus Christ, freedom from the law of sin and death. Paul goes on to say that those in faith are commended to live by the Spirit, to live by the Holy Spirit, by whom they've received adoption as God's children, and by whom they cry, Abba, Father, or Daddy. I know many of these scriptures may be familiar to some of you. Then Paul contrasts earthly suffering with the future eternal salvation and glory for all those who possess it by faith. In verses 26 and 28, Paul acknowledges deep suffering. They're two of the most quoted verses in the face of suffering. First, in verse 26, Paul writes, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself prays for us, intercedes for us." Imagine the depth of pain and darkness where you can't even pray anymore, and knowing that the Holy Spirit is there praying for you, praying with you. And then verse 28, Paul writes, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." This is a tough verse, no matter how bad, no matter how dark. For those who have faith in Jesus Christ, God will use all things for good. He will bring fruit. Paul makes it clear that following Jesus doesn't mean that life is going to be perfect, that there will be suffering, there will be trial, there will be hardship. And then it's at this point that Paul's crescendo grows with verse 31. After talking about suffering, after talking about those who predestined, he also called. Those who he called, he also justified. Those whom he justified, he also glorified. We meet our verse 31. And if you have your Bibles open, Paul exclaims, "What then shall we say to these things?" So what should we say in light of this? What shall we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Paul breaks into exclamation of praise of God, who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us. And then Paul asks three questions in sequence. And I imagine his passionate excitement as he read those three questions. Verse 33, he asks, "Who will bring any charge against God's people?" Then verse 34, "Who will condemn God's people?" And verse 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Three very important questions. Verse 33, who will bring charge against God's people? Paul writes, it is God who justifies. God himself justifies those who have faith in Jesus Christ. He justifies, if you think of a document, he makes them aligned. He makes them right again. He makes them perfect. No charges now remain against those who have faith in Jesus Christ. There are no charges standing. Verse 34, who will condemn God's people? Reading verse 34, who is to condemn? Paul says, Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed interceding for us. Paul doesn't just say, Jesus who died for you, but he makes the point, he not only died, but he was resurrected from the dead. And more than that, who is now at the right hand of God the Father, Paul quoting what would have been a familiar passage to Jewish ears from Psalm 110, where King David wrote, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool. Paul quoting, Jesus is now at the right hand of God, that heaven is a real place. Jesus himself protects us, redeems us from condemnation. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And then verse 35, who shall separate God's people from the love of Christ? And he doesn't really give a light and joy-filled list. Who shall separate us? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? It's not an easy picture to withhold. Paul doesn't say you'll avoid those things, but Paul says these things will not separate you from God's love. It's a bleak picture, and to bolster his point, verse 36, Paul quotes from Psalm 44. For your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. He reminds his audience, many of those who would know these scriptures that would have been Jewish, he reminds them of the persecution that God's people have endured for centuries because they only believed in him, the one true God, and they worshiped him alone. Because of that, they have endured persecution and hardship. And it's now that Paul's crescendo hits its climactic pitch. Verse 37, it begins with the word no, but it's the Greek word Allah. And Allah is noted to be a marker of emphatic contrast. Allah is used more than 600 times in the New Testament. And 90% of the time it's translated but. Emphatic contrast. But here, a much stronger word is used to catch what Paul is trying to say. It's translated no. No, Paul writes. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. No, Paul writes. In all these things, we prevail through him who loved us, Jesus Christ alone. In all these things, again, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, the sword. We prevail through all in Jesus Christ. That is the supreme hope of the gospel. And verse 38, the next verse, Paul writes, for I am sure. Paul was amazingly gifted in his use of the Greek language. He didn't just write, I am sure. He chose to write, I am sure, in the perfect passive voice. Now, assuming that not all of you are English majors, the perfect passive voice communicates that he's sure now and he continues to be sure. He is completely sure. Paul writes, I am sure and I continue to be sure, or even stronger, I am convinced and I continue to be convinced of what? That nothing can separate you from God's love if you're in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 38. For I am sure and I continue to be convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth. He leaves no stone unturned there. For those who are in Christ Jesus, nothing can separate you from God's love. Nothing. There's no doubt. Nothing will be able to separate God's people from the transforming, forgiving, cleansing love of God in Christ Jesus. And that's hope, especially when you're in a dark season. That's hope when you're enduring suffering and pain, when you don't know where God is or where his love is. Life is frequently bleak. Every day we read about the darkness in our broken world, from wars and famine and accidents and shootings and natural disasters. And this is hope that for those who are in Christ Jesus, nothing separates you from God's love. There's hope here even if you're experiencing the dark night of the soul right now. You can be assured that God is with you. He has not left you. With faith in Jesus Christ, cleansed and forgiven by his blood, you are never separated from his love. And as Craig painted that picture last week, he has his arms around you, whether you feel it or not. He is there. And through those dark seasons, he then equips his people to be able to minister to others, to be able to know his presence during the next hard season. It's a joyful crescendo. Nothing can separate you from God's love. And that's the joyful crescendo that Kim and I experienced when the Lord opened our eyes to his presence and protection and his peace in the midst of our dark season. And it helped us to know we could trust him moving forward. We could trust him with now, and we could trust him with what we don't know. And that's the hope that every man and woman possess. Only in Christ Jesus. And that's another but it's only in Christ Jesus that you know that presence and that peace. There is now no condemnation, Romans 8:1, for those who are in Christ Jesus. But if you are not in Christ Jesus, if you do not yet have faith in Christ Jesus, then there is still condemnation. And there is complete separation from God's love because of sin. Repeatedly in Scripture, Jesus declared there's new life through faith in him alone. There is eternal suffering for those who do not believe in him. And our reading from Mark makes this point. Mark 8:34 and 35. Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever does that, whoever would save his life will lose it." If you save your life and don't follow Jesus, you lose your life. But whoever loses his life takes up your cross and follows him for my sake. And for the gospel's, you save it. And he goes on to say, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed." There is condemnation for those who do not have faith in Jesus Christ. There is no hope. There is a separation from God's redeeming love, sustaining love. And some of you today stand, "I don't know the condition of any heart." But I'm aware that some of you may stand today separated from God's love. And if you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ, if you do not possess the hope and peace that Paul describes, I pray you will make a decision today to turn your eyes to Jesus. Jesus, who in his own words is the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to the Father. I implore you today to surrender your life to Jesus. If you have not yet done that, there will be an opportunity in the midst of our Eucharist, our communion service, to make that surrender, and I hope you will not let it pass you by. If you have faith in Jesus, but today you realize because of unconfessed sin in your life, you feel separated from his love, you feel distant, I encourage you to confess today as we pray our prayer of confession. To be restored into God's presence through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the forgiveness that he purchased. Today can be a day of new beginning for you, of restored hope and restored joy. Nothing can separate you from God's love when you have faith in him through Jesus Christ. Now, for those of you who may be in the midst of a dark night where you feel lonely and isolated, separated from community, When you feel a deep darkness far away from God's presence, I encourage you to take heart in Christ. Nothing separates you from God's love, and He is there. You may not see it, you may not feel it, but He is always with you as His child. And I hope you will resist the temptation to isolate yourself from the body of Christ, that you might share with a brother or a sister in Christ the pain and the darkness that you have, not so that they can fix it, and if they try to fix it, remind them, you can't fix this, but so that they could be there with you, so that they could be Jesus Christ's light and His love and His hands and feet as they sit with you. Because the joyful proclamation of the gospel through Paul is that when you are in Christ, Paul is convinced, and I am convinced, and I continue to be convinced, nothing, no nothing, can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.